Welcome to the Donna Sebo Show. Donna is an international mental practitioner, award-winning author, counselor, speaker, teacher, and radio TV personality. Dedicated to empowering others through her mental skills, she also features authors and experts from all over the world to share their knowledge and experience with you, the listening audience. Now, let's join Donna and her guests. Here's Donna.
Hello and welcome to an hour of mind power. This is Donna Sebo, and today we're sort of going to get into the feel for the holidays. If you're sort of like me and so many other people were saying as we're standing in line in the post office, how come it's happening so fast? Well, how come it's coming so quick? It just feels like everything's going so fast. Well, I have a wonderful guest today, Joan Anderson. She's been on my show before. But we're going to be talking about miracles and angels and wonderful things that are just going to get us in the field for this wonderful, wonderful holiday season. Joan, welcome to the show.
Oh, thank you, Donna. It's just wonderful to talk to you again.
Well, it's a delight. I just am always so pleased to have you on the air because we're able to share such inspiring stories for people. And in today's world, there is just so much garbage that's going on.
Mm-hmm.
That's my word. And so many people just, I think, need to know that there's a lot more to life than what we can see, and that they should never ever give up hope, and they should realize that especially during this time of the year, it's not about the things. It's about the essence and what this season truly, truly represents. I'll just use the words goodwill towards men as those few that I think could carry a lot of power if they were used in the right way.
Mm-hmm.
Now, your book, Where Miracles Happen, and its subtitle is True Stories of Heavenly Encounters. Now, this book had been put out a few years back, but you have new stories that you added into it. But I know so many in my audience just have never heard of you and have never heard of these stories. Please don't take offense at that. But, you know, I'm in a whole different environment than I was years ago when I first interviewed you. So I want you to let us know how it was that you got involved with stories about angels. What was it that just made you decide to write about miracles?
Well, it's an odd thing because I was already a writer. I was struggling to be able to stay at home with my five children. People roll their eyes at that. And yes, it wasn't easy to do something like writing because you need a little bit of concentration and some space.
Mm-hmm.
And we had a little handyman special house. And don't mean to assume that I was a single mother. You know, my husband was out there pulling his end of the load, but when you have seven people, you know, you're at the grocery store all the time. So
mm-hmm.
I was simply doing that as a way of getting through the next year or two, whatever. In the back of my mind was the notion that the writing was just simply something I did, but I was sure that God would have a really important job for me someday. I don't know why I felt that way, but I had asked him if I could be of service in some way. And, you know, I don't really hear any answers. Usually I'm like everybody else, you know, waiting for the clouds and the Shazams and the, you know, fireworks, and
mm-hmm.
nothing ever happens. It, like it says in scriptures, a still small voice sometimes. And that's kind of what I started getting, was just this small voice, just stay here. This is where I want you to be. So I was writing all these articles on potty training, and the kids were fighting in the background. And then one time, something funny happened. One of our kids grew up and went to college and got a job and was coming home to spend Christmas with us. One of these, it was one of those nights when, you know, every mother prays, not me, please, because they were coming home cross country from Connecticut to Chicago, where we live, and it was just the worst possible traveling conditions. It was 30 degrees below zero. That wasn't the, you know, the wind chill. That was the actual temperature.
Mm-hmm.
And all of this had been forecasted, but, you know, college and young adult kids think they're invincible, so.
Oh, yes.
I'm standing at the window, you know, praying, looking. It looked like the surface of the moon. Nothing had been out all day. Nobody could get their car started. And unbeknownst to me, of course, he's late now by, you know, several hours. They had broken down in a cornfield in Indiana. Just imagine, nobody would have been out at that time, and nobody was. And they, being scientists, they figured, not very intelligent scientists, maybe for science, but, you know, not for the daily routine. They told me later that they thought they were going to die, probably freeze to death in their cars. And all of a sudden, there was a tow truck. It was right behind them. In fact, my son said to me later, you know, we were looking for something. So if we had seen any kind of a light at all in the distance, you know, we would have run to it or something. But there just wasn't anything. And then all of a sudden, this big balloon kind of light. And the fella got out of the tow truck, and he looked just like an ordinary person. That's one thing that I learned later, that angels often come to us looking like ordinary people. These are not human beings that died and went to heaven. These are actual angels, but they can take on the look of anyone or anything depending on what is necessary for the job to get done. And this man came as a tow truck driver, and he, you know, he didn't explain why he was out there or anything. He just kind of needed tow, and Tim said, my son said, oh, my gosh, could you take us back to, you know, the village that we just passed? And he did. And when they got back to where they wanted to be, Tim got out of the car to pay the man, and there was nobody there. There wasn't any hitching up on his bumper. There wasn't a truck pulling away. There wasn't anything at all except their own tracks in the snow. And he said he put his hand on the hood of the car, his car, and it was completely iced over. There weren't any warm spots. You know, there was no way in the world that he could have driven that distance. So when he came home and he told me this, he told it in a very kind of a mystified way, and I was, you know, asking him, well, what time did this come? And sure enough, while I was waiting for him, looking out the window, praying for him, that's when he, you know, encountered this guy. So my first thought was Tim wasn't all mentally there. It had been a long drive, and, you know, they were probably hungry and all that, because we do have a tendency to make it sound as if it's logical. You know, when we go back over something like this, I always say when heaven touches us, we tend to, instead of embrace it, we tend to kind of pull away and say, well, this can't be happening. Not to me. I'm just an ordinary person. I'm not a saint. I'm not this or that. And, you know, why would an angel come to me? So that's what the way most people react to it, and that's what my son was doing too. So I thought, let's just solve the mystery here. I will go and find this tow truck driver. And so I did. I went to Fort Wayne, Indiana, where they had met him, and was told that the city had been under a curfew during that time. All the rescue vehicles were locked up. There wouldn't have been anyone out there. And a little touch that I thought was kind of cute later was that the truck that the boys encountered was white. The trucks in the group of trucks that were owned by the city were a different color, whatever it was.
Mm-hmm.
So we thought the white was kind of sweet. And we were just at a standstill there. There was no place else to go, nothing else to do. And so I started telling this story kind of around, you know, while I'm standing in the supermarket or if I'm teaching a class or something. Afterwards, I would ask the people to stay for a minute. And I was just kind of running it by people to see if anyone had ever had an experience like this. And this is a very long-winded way. I'm to the last sentence now. And people looked at me, and some of them had that look like, oh, she was fine until she started on this crazy stuff. But there were a few always that had that look on their face or in their eyes. They knew what I was talking about. And I just kept collecting stories They just kept coming up as if they had been there for years and no one had ever acknowledged them. And I had so many at one point that I thought, oh, it's time for me to stop writing. I never did make much of it. You know, my mother would buy one of my books, but no one else ever did. And I just thought, it's time to quit and go and get a real job. But I want to do this one last book. I want to do it for God, to thank Him for saving my son. I want to do it for people that may not know that there's actually another world out there. And I want to do it just because it needs to be done. So I did that. And that book became a New York Times bestseller, and it was on the list for over a year. My whole life changed, and yet it was the first time I remember thinking that this was all a plan, and I just had to get ready for it by going through the darker moments.
Well, I have had enough unique experiences in my own life. I never laugh at anyone else's.
No, never.
I never, ever put anybody down. I don't care what their culture is, because there are those essences.
Mm-hmm.
There are those wonderful happenings that when they do occur, you look at them and all you can say is thank you and just pass the magic along, which is what you have done with this wonderful book, Where Miracles Happen.
Now, well, see, that became the second book in what became a series.
Uh-huh.
At the time I was writing the first one, Where Angels Walk, I had no idea that it was going to go. I mean, we laughed and said my mother would have to buy several of these because we had no idea who was going to be interested in this.
Mm-hmm.
But everyone in the world seemed to be. And so the second book became a sequel, and that was Where Miracles Happen. And it was published in 94. So the fact that it's 15 years old, still on the shelf, you know, kind of gives you an idea of how much people love angel stories and miracle
mm-hmm.
stories. But we decided that since we the other ones in the series are all much newer, this one could stand a little facelift and put some new stories into it, which I did. So that's really why it's new, but it's not. And I always tell people that, you know, you may come up against some of the same stories that you remember reading in 1994, but not if you never saw this book, then it will be completely new to you.
That's true. Now, because we're in the holiday season, I would like to start off with the story that you've got here, A Miracle at Christmas. And I love the quote that you've got before the story begins. It says, "This is what you are to hold fast to yourself, the sympathy and companionship of unseen worlds." And that's by Philip Brooks.
Ooh.
And this, I think, just is dovetailing beautifully with what you are describing. Now, The Miracle at Christmas, this is about Emily Long and her husband and him going into active duty as a
mm-hmm.
career Army officer and finding a consulting job that also involved traveling around for about 20 days each month. Tell us about this story, this Miracle at Christmas.
She was such a sweet woman. I remember her. And she had had either two or three children and was very sure that their family was complete. And so even though he took the job and left her alone quite a bit, it was not going to be a lifetime thing. And she just had that nice cooperative spirit about her. And so it was all just fine, except that very surprised, she went to the doctor and discovered that she was indeed going to have another baby. And now things change because she's older. She needs monitoring. She's got these older children. And so it was kind of, she was facing Christmas feeling kind of scared, you know. And so she went to the doctor, as she was supposed to do for her monthlies. And when she finished up, that one day I remember she drove all the way back and she was going to a specialist because of her age, and so it was a much longer trip than it would have been if she had just been, you know, casually 25
mm-hmm.
years old. And she said, "I remember that when I got started, the snow was coming, but it wasn't that bad." And she thought, well, sure, the kids would be okay. She'd be dovetailing with them around the same time they got home. But it didn't work out that way, and it was worse and worse and worse. Snow was heavier, and finally, she said, just from hanging onto the steering wheel, she was almost just one big ball of pain. And her house was up on top of a hill, and she finally got there, and she couldn't get up the hill, and she couldn't really walk it either, because by now the snow was terribly high. And she said she sat there for a minute, and she started to cry and thinking about this precious baby, and she wanted to be so careful, and yet what was she going to do? Her children were probably in the house, hopefully, but she didn't want them coming out, and she couldn't, before the days of cell phones, so you can't always call people. Mm-hmm. And she said all of a sudden, she looked and there was a man walking up towards her, up on the, you know, the part where the hill hits the ground. And she said he just started walking up. It was as if there really wasn't any problem. And she opened the door and he said, no, you stay in the car and I will get you up there. And she said, that would be impossible. And he said, no, just stay in the car. And she said he had one of those, just those auras about him that made her feel comfortable. People often respond to that. They'll say, I don't know why I wasn't afraid. I was out alone and it should have been a kind of a scary situation, but this person had the most beautiful look on his face. Or, you know, there was just something calming and soothing. And he began to push the car, and the car began to move. And she said it was the most amazing thing that had ever happened to her. She sat there and simply steered a little, and this one man pushed that great big car all the way up a hill and got it parked right by the garage. And she said she opened the door and got out as fast as she could to tell him, please come in, let me do something for you. And there was no one there. There wasn't a soul there. And she said the baby was born a few months later, very healthy. And I believe at the time I talked to her, he was, you know, in seventh or eighth grade and just the light of their life at this point. But she said she almost felt like it was Christmas in her heart, too, because she could have, you know, lost this precious child, and so could have Mary with all of the things that she went through. So you just have to wonder. They keep doing the same things over and over again. We still don't get it.
Mm-hmm. She had, as president, and what I found intriguing with the story is that when she got out of the car, there were no footprints.
Mm-hmm.
There was nothing to show. And it wasn't snowing where it would have covered it up.
Oh, no.
It was quiet. The snow had stopped. The snowing had stopped. The snow was deep enough. If somebody was walking, you would see holes in the snow. There was nothing there.
You know, one of my friends told me a long time ago that she wasn't sure that she believed in angels. And I said, well, that's okay. Somebody once told me that you don't have to believe in angels for the angels to believe in you. And she kind of smiled, and a couple of Christmases later, she called me the day after, and she said, you're just not going to believe this at all. And she proceeded to tell me that I didn't know this, because if I had, I would have helped her, but they had 10 children at the time.
Ouch.
And, yes, and they had gone through their budget, and they had only the one choice. The father would have to get a part-time job in order for them to get through Christmas. They didn't want that because she needed help in the evening. And besides that, it was maybe a little bit more traditional in those days, but she was needed at home. So they just said, they gathered the kids around and they said, listen, everybody needs pajamas. We're going to get a, you know, set of pajamas for each of you and candy, and that'll just have to be it. And, you know, you just don't do that today. I mean, unless you already know that you're a poor person, and a lot of the kids, of course, didn't know that they were poor, because children often don't. If they have a lot of love, it doesn't really make that much difference. But she said, it really broke my heart, and I said, why didn't you tell some of us? We would have helped out. And she said, no, that was the other thing. We didn't want to do that. So we thought that what we might do is save a little money and buy some toys for my brothers, children, because my brother was out of work and we at least had a job and each other and so forth. So, you know, I'm looking back at this thinking, why didn't she tell us? She said, oh, I didn't have to, because, you know, it was one of those things where a neighbor of hers was on his way home from a business trip, stopped at an oasis to have some coffee to keep him awake for the last leg of the journey, was sitting next to a man who had a trucker's outfit on, and the trucker said, "I don't suppose you'd need some toys. Can you imagine this?"
Mm-hmm.
And this guy looks up from his coffee and says, "Toys?" And he said, "Well, yeah." He said, "You've got a big station wagon out there." He said, "I figured maybe you had kids." And he said, "Well, I do." He said, "Well, I've got a bunch of beat-up samples here in the car and in the truck." And he said, "I'd like to leave. There's no place for me to put these. Got to turn the truck back." And the guy said, "Say no more," you know. So the two men went out there, and the trucker moved the beat-up samples, which were in boxes that were kind of, you know, old
mm-hmm.
crates and things, put them into the neighbor's car, who had just enough room. And the neighbor told me later that he had debated on this trip whether he should take the station wagon or not, but he did. So obviously he wouldn't have had, their other car was very tiny. So he comes chugging along the street, and I said to him, "Now, you were going to give these toys to your children?" He said, "Oh, no, my children had things." He said, "I was going to give them to this family at the end of the block because I had heard they weren't going to have Christmas." And it was my friend's family. He pulls in the driveway, unloads all the toys. They come out. Of course, all the kids are in bed now. My friend starts to cry, and he just gave her a hug and said, "You know, that's what angels do." And, you know, everyone, ho, ho, ho. And she said, "Well, when they got in the room, they carried in the toys and they looked. There were 10 toys, and then there was another little bag with 4. Well, her brother had 4 children."
Oh, my goodness.
And then she began looking at the toys. She had 4 girls. There were 4 dolls. There was a baseball mitt for the child that's all he wanted. And the oldest boy got a wagon, which he had wanted for 3 years. It was... She said, and I got goosebumps when I heard her say this, she said, "It was as if God went shopping just for us."
What a wonderful story.
Isn't that something?
That is terrific.
You know, it wasn't the toy or the material thing as much as the faith that the kids, she said, "I just knew that something good would happen because
mm-hmm.
you can't just sow your seed and not have it come back to you."
And I think that's a very good point. And it's, I think when you go through hard times and you experience certain things, it was about a holiday period like this when I was working at National Cash Register in California. And one of my working associates went home and found that she had been robbed of everything.
Oh.
And it was so devastating to her. And when we found out about it, of course, she talked about it and was in tears every time she would discuss some of this. So we all took up a collection for her, and
oh.
we gave her a nice amount of money. It was amazing what was able to be put together. But there were all kinds of synchronicities that
mm-hmm.
happened that it's just like there was an invisible bugle call that was blown.
Yes, what a great description.
She just said, "I cannot believe everything that is evolving from a disaster." And what was phenomenal is that right after the first of the new year, there was a situation where she ended up getting a large sum of money from someone that was aware of a particular situation she was going through at the time. And she said, "It's strange how everything seemed to work
wow.
out even better." So
yeah.
these things sometimes that happen to us are, you know, we don't like them,
mm-hmm.
but it creates transformation in one's
it
life.
It does. And
mm-hmm.
it kind of, it teaches you something. I was thinking, when you mentioned about somebody that was robbed, a man from Toronto was telling me a story of the phone. He was saying that a couple of years before he had been jobless, just laid off, made redundant is I think what they call it sometimes in Canada, and that sounds so awful. But anyway, he said he and his wife had 3 children under 5 years old, so she wasn't going to be doing too much to aid the family budget. And of course it was his job. And as he went through these interviews and knew that he was not getting the job, he got more and more depressed. And it got so that he didn't even really want to say much at night because what could he say? It's just another failure, according to him. The wife, on the other hand, had a completely different outlook on everything. Of course, she wasn't knocking down doors, but she said what had started to happen was the people had heard about it and didn't want to make a big deal out of it, but in their own sweet ways, the neighbors or her church community, whatever, were kind of like stopping by. There would be, she'd open her front door and there would be a casserole, you know, for dinner that night. Or there'd be tickets to a play that the kids could use. One day she found a pair of new shoes right after her oldest boy split his right down the middle. She said people were watching. People were caring for us. They just weren't making a big deal out of it. And she said, I felt almost exalted through all of this. It was as if I knew that everything was going to be all right. And she just couldn't get her husband to see it that way. Mm-hmm. And so one day he was leaving. He was downtown Toronto and had just messed up another interview, he felt, and was walking down the street, kind of head bowed and thinking, where do I go now? And coming towards him is one of these little old grandmotherly type ladies, kind of bouncing and with a big smile on her face. And she stopped him. She had a little Irish accent. And she asked him for directions to a particular building. And he said, oh, I just came out of there. Here, you turn around this way and you go there. And he explained. And she said, well, thank you. And then she reached up and she gave him a little pinch on his cheek. You know how some of your maiden aunts do that? Oh, you're so cute. And she said to him, whatever happens, you're loved, you know. And then she started walking towards the building. And he said he turned around and he took a couple of steps, and then it kind of hit him. Whatever happens, you're loved. He said, I could feel this warmth just flowing over me. And I thought to myself, what does the Bible say of faith, hope, and love is all that is really important, and love is what remains? And you already have that. You don't have to go out looking for that. That's there at your doorstep every single night. He said his entire thought pattern changed in a matter of seconds, and he turned around to ask this little lady how she had known just what to say, and there was nobody there. There was nobody going towards the building. There was nobody coming. He had a clear view, and there wasn't a soul. And he told me later, he said, that was the end of it for me. I just thought, well, whatever will be, and that's it. And I don't think it would be nice to say that he got a job right away, but he didn't. I don't know how long they had to work like that. But, you see, I said to him that it had been explained to me that when we are giving, we're very comfortable. It's hard to receive.
Mm-hmm.
And, of course, part of that is the hope that you will, when you get back in the light again, begin to serve those who need you. But more than that, it's to let you know that nothing lasts forever, and you'll be out of this eventually. And in the meantime, there's a whole, like you said, the bugle call waiting for people to come.
It's wonderful. Joan, your book, Where Miracles Happen, is absolutely delightful.
Oh,
and
thank you.
You've got another one that has come out, and I've not yet gotten a copy of that one, so I'm looking forward to that. Okay. And that one, what is the title of that one?
It's called Moms, Moms, M-O-M-S. Moms Go Where Angels Fear to Tread. And I said to Guideposts, I don't know if you're familiar with them. They're
I am.
A very nice magazine that Dr. Norman Vincent Peale founded a long time ago. And I do a lot of work for Guideposts. And one day one of the editors said to me, do you have any feelings or thoughts on the younger moms of today? And I said, oh, do I? And she wanted to know what. And I said, I feel badly for them or bad for them because they're just being told all the time that they ought to be able to handle job, babies, you know, traveling, the whole thing, and it should all just be so easy for them. And as a result, since they can't do all of that, they're pretty uptight about a lot of things. Mm-hmm. And I just wish they could relax, understand that, you know, these are not the best years of your life, but they might be kind of fun if you could enjoy them more. And she said, well, didn't you used to write humor before angels? People always refer to it as BA, before mm-hmm. angels. And I said, oh, yes, lots of it. She said, well, what happened to all of that? And I said, well, I don't know. I could look it up, I guess. I've never been great at filing. mm-hmm. But anyway, we found that we had so much material that I kind of adjusted it to today. And we have two books. The second one will be finished soon. And what it's really meant to do is just get women laughing, get them to be supportive of each other, because very often women think that they have to be competitive, especially if they're in the business world. And it's too bad, because they are a wonderful resource for each other if they could let part of that go.
That is true. Very
mm-hmm.
true.
I know my daughter-in-laws are forever telling me that they just wish they could have more fun. And finally I said, you know, you can. And they didn't think so, and now they're working on it. Yeah.
And we're going to have to go. I'm out of time for our chat today. But I want to let my listeners know again, your book is Where Miracles Happen. Joan Wester Anderson is the author. Give me your website quickly, Joan. I didn't do
Joan,
that.
It's JoanWAnderson.com.
JoanWAnderson.com. Mm-hmm. Joan, it's been a delight. Merry Christmas to you. Have
you
a fabulous
so much.
Holiday season, and I look forward to our next chat.
So do I. Thank you, and Merry Christmas.
Thank you. This is Donna Sebo. We're taking a break. We're going to be back in just a moment.
Are you concerned about nutrition? Do you work hard to eat right, try to feed yourself and your family nutritious food? Well, you'll want to know about glyconutrients. What are they? These are sugars that are present in nature, however, we're not getting them in our food anymore. Scientific study is proving that these sugars are necessary for all cellular and immune system function. Over 20,000 studies are conducted each year on glycoforms alone. These are the sugar protein structure that line each and every cell of the body. 4 out of the last 8 Nobel Prizes in physiology have been awarded for research in the area of cellular communication and how these sugars work in the body. This is Donna Sebo. Every day I bring to you information that will empower and light up your life. I would like to invite you to visit my website, DelphiInternational.com, and find out more about these glyconutrients. That's DelphiInternational.com. Go to my website, go to the left side of the screen, tap on the button that says glyconutrients. MIT's Technology Review, February 2003, states that glycomics is one of the 10 emerging technologies that will change the world. Education is the key to advancement of understanding and making our lives better. Visit my site, DelphiInternational.com. Go to the left side of the screen and tap on the button that says glyconutrients. I know it'll make a difference for you, as it has for me.
Do you want to lose weight? Do you deal with diabetes, high blood pressure, osteoporosis, or chronic pain? Do you want to know one of Dr. Perricone's 7 secrets to beauty, health, and longevity? Do you have 15 minutes a day to look and feel better? Then let me introduce you to TTAP, the workout that works. For the beginner or expert exerciser, learn from physical training specialist Teresa Tapp how, in just 15 minutes a day, you can burn fat and sugar, build strong bones and muscles, and lose inches fast with no equipment or jumping. Visit the TTAP website, TTAP.com, or call 1-800-342-0717 to learn how. That's TTAPP.com. We'll help you lose inches, look good, and feel fabulous at TTAP. 1-800-342-0717, TTAP.com.
Hi, this is Donna. Telephone lines are now open. If you'd like to call in and let me light up your life with a little bit of intuitive insight, I would be delighted to do that. Here is the worldwide toll-free telephone number. It is 888-815-9756. That's 888-815-9756. 9756. Well, I've been getting some items and information, and if you want to send me a special recipe or a story about something that your family has in the way of a wonderful memory, or why Christmas and the holidays are so meaningful to you, send it to Donna@DelphiInternational.com, and I would be delighted to share it with my listening audience. And you send it to my email address, which is Donna@DelphiInternational.com. That's DelphiInternational.com. And if you should have a problem for any reason, because every once in a while, you know how electronics are. They just, or electrical stuff goes, it just gets wacky. So just give me a buzz if you want, because my office number is 800-872-8852. Cheryl sent me a cute little story that I wanted to share with you. It's about Oli and Sven. Yes. Now, Reverend Oli is the pastor of the local Norwegian Lutheran Church, and Pastor Sven is the minister of the Swedish Covenant Church that is right across the road from him. Now, one day, they were seen pounding a sign into the ground that said, "The end is near. Turn yourself around now before it's too late." A car was speeding past them, and the person read the sign. The driver was very rude. He leaned out of his window and he yelled, "Leave me alone, you Scandinavian religious nuts." From the curve, they heard screeching tires and a big splash. Reverend Oli turns to Pastor Sven and asks, "Do you think maybe the sign should have just said, 'Bridge out'?" Ah, yes. Just a little sweetness there. Couldn't pass it up. I thought it was corny, but it was cute. I really liked it. Well, if you're getting ready for the holidays, if you have little ones around, or if you're concerned about hazards or things you need to be alert to, I've got some wonderful tips that were sent to me by Stephanie. So I'm going to share those with you. But we've got a caller on the line. We'll show you how we do readings for you on the air. Let's go to our first caller today. First name or initial, and where are you calling from?
Mary Everett.
From Everett, Washington?
Yes.
Well, Mary, welcome to the show. How are you enjoying these icy temperatures we're having?
I'm enjoying it. It's a little cold.
It's a wee bit brisk, right? It was 22 degrees at our home this morning. So I don't know if it was that cold, whether you're up where you are, but it was.
Yeah.
Did you have ice all over everything?
Yeah.
Yep.
Yes, we did.
Yep. Well, it's warmed up enough down here where the ice has melted, but it's in the upper 30s, but it's supposed to stay this way for the next few days. So it's time for long johns.
Yeah.
Just stay snuggy. Okay. Mm-hmm. Good time for cuddling, right?
Yeah.
Good time. Well, Mary, let's get down to business with you. The first thing I'm looking at is you need to realize that your apprehension is not such a bad thing. You have a tendency of being a worry wart normally anyway, but I do think that there is an anxiousness that you're experiencing, and I'd like you to use it. I'd like you to leverage with it, because I think that if you'll utilize that tension that comes with apprehension, you will find you'll be able to get some things done maybe otherwise you wouldn't get done. So when you find yourself getting rather stressed, and I know this is the holiday season, and so often we take on more stuff to do than we should, but try to, when you find yourself getting really, really stressed, say, "I'm going to take a break," and either go out for a walk, even though I know the temperatures are freezing, bundle up and take a walk, or get busy doing something that's nonsensical, then, like maybe washing the windows on the inside of your place, or you need to do something that's a no-brainer so that you can shift, so that you can shift out of this apprehension, so that emotionally you can detach from it and look at things with a clear eye. When you do that, your decision-making is going to be a lot better. But when we try, when our emotions are all mixed up with our thinking processes and we get this level of apprehension because we can't control certain things, when we can detach enough by being involved in something, I used to have a friend that would scrub her floor, I mean, this is something physical, just so that you're doing something. Could be doing the laundry, could be ironing. You know, it's just whatever it is that for you will work, chopping wood, whatever. It is a good way for you to be able to detach so that you get your thinking processes in the positioning you want them in, so that you're not going to have things run away from you, so you get just so wiped out. I'm seeing you really quite tired, too. And I think that the fatigue is probably more mental fatigue, but you're tired. And when you get tired, you need to make it okay to take a nap or get quiet, do something for yourself where you have a chance to rejuvenate that energy level so that, again, you don't have all of this unnecessary tension. Do you have a question for me?
Yes, I am really looking to shift job, to change job, and I don't know if that's going to happen for me or not. Do you see it?
Well, I think it will, but it's going to take some time. It's going to take some time. You're going to be able to do it, Mary, but it is going to take some time, and I think if you can just detach, like I mentioned earlier, do whatever you need to do. You're aware of all the practical steps that have to be done. So the thing is, you do the steps that have to be done, and then you just sort of release it and allow things to move. You stay attentive to opportunities that may come your way. Just allow yourself to look for options and just sort of release it so that things can work for you. Lots of times it's not going to happen real fast. And this is the holiday season, too. You're not going to find things happening really quickly during the holiday season.
Okay, so it's going to be several months, so it's going to be a while.
It could be. It easily could be a while. So just be patient. Be patient and persistent. And what you can't control, release it and get involved with something you can control.
Okay.
Like maybe going to classes or, you know, doing something different.
Okay.
You've got a lot to be grateful for. There's a lot of blessings in your life. Count your blessings.
Yes. Yes, I do.
Well, happy holidays to you, Mary.
Thank you very much. You have the same. Thanks. Bye-bye.
Thank you, dear. Bye-bye. This is Donna Sebo, and if you'd like to call in and chat, the telephone number to call in to is 888-815-9756. Now, Stephanie, as I said, had some suggestions here that I really think were very, very good. Now, do you use a lot of lights? Now, in today's world, we are so fortunate because we have LED lights that don't need a lot of energy. But there are so many things we just need to think about. We take so much for granted today, because fortunately, a lot of people in business are very responsible and they're quite concerned about safety. And fire is one of the biggest things that always is of concern during the holidays. Now, the one suggestion that Stephanie has is that whenever we're out shopping for lights, electrical decorations, extension cords, etc., be sure to read the labels on them and make sure that they're UL listed. That way you know that they are really going to be up to par. And if you're planning to decorate outdoors, use lights and decorations that are rated for outdoor use. They are different. Putting indoor-only products outside is going to cause perhaps some electrical shock and maybe create some fire hazards, depending on where you put them. So if you're in doubt as to whether your light strings are rated for indoor or outdoor use, check the color-coded UL mark on the product's package. A green holographic UL mark says, indoors only, please, while a red one indicates that a product is safe for both indoor and outdoor use. Now, before you put any of your lights up, because sometimes we keep lights from year to year, I do, unless they just end up being destroyed, you need to inspect your lights, the electric decorations, and extension cords for any signs of damage to their insulation, perhaps the plugs, maybe even the bulbs. If it can be repaired, fine. Don't use them until you do make the repair. If they're damaged, discard and replace whatever needs to be replaced. And always unplug your lights before changing bulbs, fuses or making any other repairs. That's just common sense. You don't want to get electrocuted when you do that. And if you need to replace a bulb in a string of Christmas lights, make sure that the wattage rating of the replacement bulb you're using matches that of the light strand. If you will use a bulb with too high a wattage, it will cause the string of lights to overheat, and it could create a fire risk for you. Also, a tip that is very important, when you're working with stuff outside, if you can pass up using metal ladders in favor of ladders made of non-conductive materials like wood or fiberglass reinforced plastic, that is better, but especially when you're working outside. And remember to follow the manufacturer's instructions. And one big thing that's very important, I don't know if you're like me where you use a lot of strands of lights that go on a tree. I use a number of them, and I find I have to use a couple of extension cords because, according to the directions on the lights that I use, I can only use so many sections with an extension cord. Otherwise, it's going to create a problem. It actually could blow out all of my lights. So you want to be really aware that if you have a lot of lights, you're going to need multiple extension cords. And ever so often, make sure you check the wires of your light strands. Make sure that they're not warm to the touch. And remember, before you go to bed, to turn the lights off and your decorations off. And if you're going to be leaving your house for a good period of time, remember the same rule applies. Now, I learned something today that I have not thought of because I've used an artificial tree for years. I got very weary of cleaning up after the trees when the season was over and they were dead and they were dry and they created such a mess. And I thought I just hated to continue to use live trees. So I said, no, I don't want to do that. For a couple of years, I tried to use a live tree that you would bring inside and then plant outside. They always died. So I said enough of that and went with the artificial. When I come back from break, I'll tell you about something that people are doing, and you may have something like this going on in your local area regarding Christmas trees. And get that pad of paper out and a pen, too. If I have a chance, I'm going to share a good recipe with you for the holidays. Donna Sebo here. We're taking a break. We're going to be right back.
Enter the magical world of God's kiss.
He sees a large open area of valley ground covered with a thick green grass. In the open space are many other children and animals. All kinds of animals. And all of the animals are talking. He can understand every word they are saying.
God's Kiss is a beautifully illustrated children's book about a young boy's journey into a valley with children and animals from all over the world. They are gathering together to experience the wonder of love and beauty that will affect their lives forever. A talking book audio narrated by the author Donna Sebo accompanies this wonderful storybook, creating a special magic all of its own. This book package makes a wonderful gift for those special children in your life, ages 3 to 10. God's Kiss book and talking book audio are only $19.95 plus shipping and handling. And the author Donna Sebo will autograph and personalize your book if you request it. Call 800-872-8852. You can also order through Donna Sebo's website, www.delphiinternational.com.
Donna Sebo publishes a popular, inspirational, and insightful newsletter filled with information about her upcoming guests, her travel schedule, seminar presentations, and upbeat articles to lighten up your life. You can subscribe to this free monthly newsletter by emailing her at donna@delphiinternational.com. That's donna@delphiinternational.com. You can also go to her website, www.delphiinternational.com, and review past publications. Keep in touch with Donna through this monthly publication. Again, her email address is donna@delphiinternational.com, and her website is www.delphiinternational.com.
Hi, this is Donna. On phone line, if you want to give me a buzz, is 888-815-9756. Now, what I was going to share with you was if you're going to go out shopping for a tree, check around and see if there is someone that might enable you to get a living tree. They bring it to you, and then they pick it up, and they take it away. Now, I had not heard of this before. Apparently, this is something that's catching on. People do not want to various individuals are now very thoughtful. They just don't want the trees chopped down. But they don't want to get a living tree because their experience is going to be like mine, that when the tree's been inside, even though it's still alive, when you go outside to plant it or put it outside, it actually goes into shock. And many of the trees will just die unless you're able to do, or you have the space where you can transition a tree or make sure that you nurture it so that eventually it can be planted in the ground. So we have trees, living trees outside that we enjoy, but we never bring them in the house because we know what's going to happen. Our green thumb is not real effective. But there are businesses now, Christmas trees, that are actually brought to your home. They're living Christmas trees, and they will bring it to you at a certain time. They give you instructions on how to take care of it, and then after the holidays, they will come by, they'll pick that tree up, and they'll take it away, and they'll take care of it so that it won't end up dying and being destroyed. So this is something I just learned about today, and I thought I would share that with you, because if you're like me, you're always looking for some options, and you wouldn't have to do a major cleanup. It would be something that would smell wonderful in your home, and you'd know that the tree was going to have a home of its own afterwards. Donna Sebo here. Give me a buzz if you'd like to chat, 888-815-9756. And I wanted to also let you know that on Monday, which is Pearl Harbor Day, we're going to be talking about the military. In the first part of the program, we're going to be talking with Rosalie Turner, Sisters of Valor. This is about the women that and other families that are left behind when their loved ones go off overseas to war. And then the other one is called The Eternal Soldier. Now, Mr. D. Schiavone, he is a man that is a survivor of World War II. He has stories to tell. He's a wonderful man, and I'm looking forward to having both of these people on my show. Then Steve Siskold is going to be with me on Tuesday. What's your body telling you? Have you wanted to know or learn about how you can better understand your own physiological process and what you can do for yourself? Well, Steve is going to be able to share that with us. The Wolf at Twilight, I think, is going to be something you're really going to enjoy. Kent Nerburn is a man that has written a very, very heartwarming story, and I know that it will fascinate you. Also, Linda McNabb, a woman that has gone through her own special journey of self-discovery. Her book is titled One Again, and we're going to be talking with her next Thursday. And then, murder. Yes. The book, The Passerby, Thomas Ray Crowell, is going to be my guest. It's a true story about a man who decided he was going to try to investigate on his own because he was curious, a cold case that no one had been able to solve, and he did. So we've got a wonderful lineup next week. Tell your friends, and just remember, as always, if you want to call in and chat with me, you'll be able to do exactly that. Telephone number 888-815-9756. Well, there's one Southern belle I always enjoy, and of course I'm sure you're familiar with her. It's Paula Deen. Now, Paula, I just think, has some of the wildest and some of the best recipes. She's just so much fun to watch, and I'm just delighted to see her success. But I came across a recipe that she gave out a long time ago on her show, and I happened to listen to it, and I remember listening to this recipe, and I laughed and laughed and laughed. I thought, my goodness, I thought I had heard of everything, but whoever thought of a Krispy Kreme pudding of type, a Krispy Kreme. It's like a bread pudding. Now, a man had sent her this recipe. She gave it on the air, and by the time she finished talking about the ingredients, you probably would gain 5 pounds just listening to it. Well, I've got the recipe here. And if you use everything the way she normally would do it with all the butter and everything else, it is just going to be incredibly, it's going to give you a sugar shot and a fat shot like you would not believe. But heck, if you're going to do it well. But it originally was called the Krispy Kreme Bread Pudding. And it is absolutely phenomenal. So if you're going to go someplace and you really want to pull out all the stops, this will do it. What you need to do is have 12 glazed donuts, and it can be your favorite, whatever it is. But anyway, you cut them into 1-inch pieces. That's going to be about 7 cups of cut donuts. Then you're going to need 8 slices of potato sandwich bread. 8 slices of potato sandwich bread. And if you had another white bread that you wanted to use, that's fine. You could even use wheat if you wanted. It's up to you. You cut that into 1-inch pieces, and that's going to be about 6 cups of bread. Then you're going to need a can of apple pie filling, and that's a 21-ounce can. A can of apple pie filling. You're going to need 1 cup of raisins, 1 cup of raisins, and 1 can of sweetened condensed milk. Now, if you want to cut down on calories, and as far as I'm concerned, what difference is it going to make? But if you decide you want to cut down on calories, use the fat-free. And then 2 eggs, and oh my goodness, I'm watching the clock. You know, I'm out of time. Well, we'll just have to give the whole recipe to you on Monday. I'm out of time, folks. It just whizzed by. Remember, always you're the master of your fate. You are the captain of your soul. Get ready for the holidays. Have fun. Take time to have some of the joy of a moment just by being by yourself if you need to. Remember, the holidays are going to get here fast enough. Take time to really spend with people that you love and with yourself. Talk to you on Monday, same time, same place. Gotta go. Bye for now.
You have been listening to The Donna Sebo Show. If you would like a copy of today's broadcast, send $10 to The Donna Sebo Show, P.O. Box 97272, Tacoma, Washington, 98497-0272. Be sure to put the date of the broadcast in your request. If you are not able to be a part of today's program, join Donna and her guests Monday through Friday, and she will be here to take your calls. Thank you for listening and being part of our program. Have a wonderful day.